This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of Audio Reading Service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
We will now read the living section from Wednesday, October the 1st, Journal Gazette, and here is Mitch with the horoscopes.
Okay, today's horoscopes are by Holiday Mathis of the Creators Syndicate. We'll begin with Aries. Discernment is the theme today. Don't just accept things at face value or accept what others give you as though it were only the only option. What do you like? What fits? What solves your problem without creating a new one? Taurus. What's right isn't popular, and what's popular isn't right. So you'll do the thing that no one else is doing, and it will truly make you happy. Also, act whether or not you feel motivated. The motivation will show up later. Gemini. At minimum, you should treat yourself with compassion instead of criticism. But really, you deserve more than compassion. You deserve admiration for what you've achieved and sustained. Pause to acknowledge your resilience. Cancer. Choose connection over perfection. You don't need to script the perfect words or stress over saying the exact right thing. What matters is the energy you bring, your open heart, and the genuine quality of attention you offer others. Leo. Your purpose is simple now and can be summed up in two words. Spread joy. Sometimes you'll do it with an action, and other times just by bringing your presence into the room because the happiness inside of you, others feel it. For Virgo, people who feel heard also feel respected. You give this to others today. You value listening as much as speaking, and it's a rare indeed, and not always treasured as it should be. Your genuine attention will create a natural balance. For Libra, laughter is the treasure of your day, happening in a beautiful balance of noticing the world together, sometimes playing the cosmic foil, other times the straight man, and often the delighted audience too. Joy multiplies. Scorpio, you'll study those you admire, identify the precise skills that elevate them, and work to master your own version. Admiration becomes your curriculum, and excellence becomes attainable. And don't worry, originality is something you can't help but bring to the task. Sagittarius, your attitude toward debts and obligations works well. You remember who you owe, and you're actively trying to repay them. As for those who owe you, you're choosing not to dwell on it. When they repay, it feels like an unexpected gift. Capricorn, you don't always think about how relationships are affecting you because when they're good, they almost become a part of you, natural extensions of your being. Today, you will notice how your body feels with someone, not just what you think. Aquarius, the old game gets boring, but you're not good at the new one. Even so, fresh challenges invigorate. Even when you're losing, you win because you're gaining skill. In short, it's more fun to lose at something new than to succeed at something old. Pisces, you'll make a sale or set yourself up to make one later. Take notes after interactions because memory can be unreliable. Ideally, you will learn from today's conversation and later pick up right where you left off. And for today's birthday, it's a year of enhanced embodiment. You develop practices that free up more energy and give you flexibility, strength, and grace. But it's a happy side effect, your calmness of mind that makes the biggest difference in how you feel. More highlights: a lucrative business move, the expansion of your social network, and family togetherness that represents growth and healing. Aries and Gemini adore you. Your lucky numbers are 5, 19, 2, 20, and 11.
And now it's time for the Heloise column. Don't miss important messages. Dear Heloise, I have seen several hints regarding cell phone calls in your column lately. Readers note that they set their smartphones to silently notify them if a call comes in from a number that is not in their contact list. My concern with this train of thought is that if it is an emergency call from a family member or friend, they could be calling from a phone that is not in your contact list. If the call is silenced, you will not hear the notification right away. Hopefully, you have voicemail notifications that are audible. I would be devastated if I missed an emergency call from someone important to me. I don't answer calls that are not in my contact list, but I do hear the call coming in and watch to see if the voicemail is left. This way, there is no delay in me getting an emergency message. Signed, M.E.G. from Houghton, Michigan. Dear Heloise, my mother always had the most beautiful indoor plants I have ever seen. I asked her how she made the leaves on her plants look so shiny and nice. She said she took warm milk and a cotton ball to clean each leaf, then patted each leaf dry. Dear Heloise, my hint is regarding weak and split layering fingernails. The solution that really works is simple: olive oil. I put a few drops on my nails as often as I can after they have been in water, rubbing it around my nails and getting it in under the nails. After a few weeks, my nails become strong and healthy without splinting. Signed, Lorraine, via email. Dear Heloise, I'm a retired senior citizen who became a widower about 5 years ago. It didn't take me too long to realize that I was a complete novice around the house, especially in the kitchen. Then I recalled that my wife often mentioned hints from your column, and this led to my becoming an avid fan of yours. I've used many of the hints that you have published, and most were a godsend, and very few being less than expected. On rare occasions, there have been hints you have published that in my mind seem slightly unusual. This leads me to ask if you or your staff research, validate, or test these hints that you publish. Please understand that this is not a complaint, but rather just a question out of curiosity. Signed, Tom F. from Los Angeles. Tom, we research a great many answers, and we even cook some of the recipes that people have often sent in. There are oftentimes a great number of answers to various questions, such as how to get rid of cockroaches or how to remove certain stains. I have published several books on household hints, cooking, and many other questions from readers, some of them that go back as far as the 1950s. From all of us here at Heloise Central, thank you for being an avid reader. Signed, Heloise. Heloise is a King Features advice columnist whose work appears Mondays through Saturdays. Send a hint to Heloise at heloise.com.
Today's Dear Annie is titled, As Fall Arrives, Remember This. Dear readers, below are some of my favorite quotes about fall and the changing of seasons. I hope you enjoy their words as much as I do. Ralph Waldo Emerson reminded us, each moment of the year has its own beauty. He also believed nature always wears the colors of the spirit. Henry David Thoreau urged us, live in each season as it passes, breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, and resign yourself to the influence of the earth. He also wrote, October is the month of painted leaves. Margaret Fuller offered her faith in change. Today, a reader, tomorrow, a leader. John Keats began his To Autumn with the unforgettable seasons of mist and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun. Emily Dickinson, with her sharp brevity, wrote, besides the autumn poets sing a few prosaic days. She also gave us this picture. The morns are meeker than they were. The nuts are getting brown. The berry's cheek is plumper. The rose is out of town. Robert Frost captured the ache of beauty passing. Nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. William Blake praised the cycle. O autumn, laden with fruit and stained with the blood of the grape, pass not, but sit beneath my shady roof. George Eliot wrote, "Delicious autumn, my very soul is wedded to it. And if I were a bird, I would fly about the earth seeking the successive autumns." Alfred Lord Tennyson, captured the melancholy side. "Tears, idle tears, I know not what they mean. Tears from the depth of some divine despair rise in the heart and gather to the eyes in looking on the happy autumn fields." So when you find yourself watching the leaves fall from the trees, remind yourself that fall is not just about endings, it is about beginnings as well. The leaves may drop, but the roots hold steady. The fields may rest, but spring is waiting its turn. Let the poets keep you company as you sip something warm. Take a walk under red, orange, and green trees and breathe the crisp air in. They're whispering the same message across the years. Every season, especially this one, has its own kind of beauty, and it's worth pausing to notice. Because sometimes the best way forward is to let go, just like the trees do. Annie Lane is a Creator Syndicate advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Saturday. Send a question to DearAnnie@creators.com.
And now it's time for the Dr. Kevin Roach column, To Your Good Health. Abnormal tests in non-drinkers' liver could still be in trouble. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a generally healthy 73-year-old man. I recently had blood work done and was incidentally noted to have high liver test, ALT and AST. My doctor ordered a sonogram, which said that my liver was diffusely echogenic, consistent with fatty infiltration. I used to have an occasional drink, but I haven't had any alcohol for months. What should I do now? I did recently start on a statin, and my liver tests were normal before I started on it. Signed, RC. Answer: with abnormal liver test and your liver sonogram, I would be concerned that you had metabolic-associated steatotic liver disease. We used to call this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. It is a very common issue that affects 30% of the population. Only men who habitually consume less than 2 drinks per day, for women 1.5 drinks per day, can be considered for this disorder. People who drink more than this amount may have metabolic dysfunction and alcohol-associated liver disease, or just alcohol-associated liver disease. We worry about these conditions because they can progress to liver fibrosis, and a few people will go on to develop cirrhosis. In people who have fatty infiltration of the liver and abnormal test results, I recommend further evaluation with a FIB4 test. I used the information you sent me to do this. It's just based on blood test results, all of which you already had, and the FIB4 said that you should get further evaluation. This would be with a non-invasive test called elastography. One brand name is FibroScan, which uses an ultrasound to determine your risk for fibrosis and cirrhosis. However, your abnormal AST and ALT tests seem like they are more likely due to the statin. Mild elevations are very common and not dangerous to the liver, but I am concerned that your statin is making it seem as though you might have advanced liver disease. In my opinion, you should see a gastroenterologist with special expertise in liver disease. Elastography may be a smart idea because it is possible to have liver fibrosis even with normal liver tests. The Dr. Keith Roach column is a features advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Thursday and on Saturdays. Write to Dr. Roach at 628 Virginia Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32803, or email toyourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu. We will now read the perspective section of the Wednesday, October the 1st newspaper. The opinions expressed are those of the writers and are not necessarily the opinions of the Audio Reading Service, the Allen County Public Library, or Northeast Indiana Public Radio, PBS Fort Wayne, or your readers, Marcia or
Mitch.
And now, here's Mitch with the very first item.
Okay. The primary editorial in today's perspective section is titled "The Color of Care. Black Moms' Disparate Mortality Rate Reflects an Inequitable Commitment." Indiana's progress in reducing infant mortality is welcome news, but testimony last Thursday before an interim study committee on public health, behavioral health, and human services showed the numbers obscure a cruel truth. Black mothers in Indiana remain at grave risk, and racial inequalities in maternal mortality persist nationwide and at home. As the committee resumes work later this month, lawmakers cannot afford to treat mothers as a monolith. According to a 2025 Commonwealth Fund analysis, Indiana's maternal mortality rate is 39.9 pregnancy-related deaths per 100,000 live births, which is more than twice the national average. Both state and national rates remain higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. For black women, the odds are far worse. In 2023, the U.S. maternal mortality rate for black women was 50.3 deaths per 100,000 live births, compared with 14.5 for white women, more than three times higher, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. That gap persists even when accounting for insurance, education, or income. As Dr. Dimelade Adenisewo of the Mayo Clinic has noted, race itself operates as a risk factor through bias, structural inequity, and cumulative stress. Black women also face higher rates of complications such as hypertension, preeclampsia, and cardiovascular disease. These conditions demand more vigilant care, not less. In 2023, former State Health Commissioner Dr. Richard Feldman called Indiana's maternity mortality a public health catastrophe, citing systemic racism as a root cause. As far back as October 2022, this editorial board called for the state's maternal mortality gap unacceptable, particularly for black mothers who die at significantly higher rates than their white peers. Slashing public health funding to make room for a tax cut isn't fiscal responsibility. Rather, it's wanton cruelty dressed up as a policy. Nationally, the United States continues to lag its peers in maternal outcomes. Between 2019 and 2021, pregnancy-related deaths nearly doubled before retreating slightly. Even so, the U.S. mortality ratio remains roughly three times higher than in countries such as Sweden or Japan. And more than 80% of those deaths are considered preventable, the Journal of American Medical Association has reported. A reminder that systemic failures, not biology, drive much of the harm. Meanwhile, Indiana lawmakers ended Health First Indiana funding after just 2 years, dismantling programs that offered home visits, milk bank partnerships, and culturally competent support. A diversity, equity, and inclusion lens is not optional. It's essential. Policies that treat mothers as a single category fail to account for how race, geography, and income intersect to shape risk. Restoring community-based maternal supports, reimbursing doula care through Medicaid, expanding bias training in maternity care, and investing in local health infrastructure are not side issues. They are life and death necessities. Indiana has long known the problem. What remains missing is the political will to act before black mothers and their children become statistics.
And now letters to the editor. Loss of moral center is destroying our nation. Let us look within ourselves to understand the hate power in this country. I was raised in the 1970s and learned to value hard work, respect for others, and care for mankind. What in the world has happened to society? We have raised a society of people who don't respect others, use violence because they don't agree with others, and have a rigid intolerance of people who think differently. A society that takes pictures of people being killed rather than offering assistance. A world where morals no longer are important. It breaks my heart that we are more hell-bent on our differences than what we can do together. I graduated in the class of 1977 from Harding High School, and I am so thankful that I grew up then rather than now. In the 1970s, we made fun of our parents and their rules, but I am grateful to this day that they taught us right from wrong. I am glad I was able to share these values with my daughter. May God heal this country. Signed, Jacqueline St. John of Fort Wayne. Dispossessed Palestinians mistreated for decades. I appreciated Sam Flickisher's September the 2nd piece, Settler Behavior, West Bank Outrage. I wondered whether Zionist settlers would behave so badly in the countries from which they emigrated. Palestinians in the West Bank have legal title to their land according to international law. Many land titles were from the Ottoman Empire circa 1300 to 1918. There were 56,000 Jews in Palestine in 1918, about 5% of this population. Zionist settlers purchased 56% of Palestine before 1948, then took the rest at gunpoint. 80% of Palestinians were dispossessed of their homes after 1948. Zionist settlers are throwing Palestinians out of their ancestral homeland. Signed, Tom Tiran of Fort Wayne. Call center challenges offer an opportunity. If you really want to make America great again, President Donald Trump needs to sign an executive order to make any company doing business in America have its call centers located in the United States. What good is it if you have manufacturers move back to the U.S. if their help desks are overseas? Those are American jobs, and those also left the country. I'm tired of talking to help desks that are in India, Pakistan, Vietnam, or the Philippines. Sometimes you must ask for someone who speaks better English to help you because you just cannot understand what that first person is saying. If you stay on the line and take the survey, they ask two questions that prove my point. One is, how well did the representative speak English? The other is, could you clearly understand what the other representative was saying? I need to talk to someone in Battle Creek, St. Louis, or Kansas City, not overseas. The cable providers are the worst. If you cannot even get by the AI to talk to a real human being, Consumer Cellular is the best because they are 100% located in the United States. I am sure I'm not the only person who is confronted by this problem every time you call for help. Signed, D.R. Murphy of Fort Wayne. And the last letter reads, and it's actually entitled, Correct Assessment. A recent letter criticized Allen County GOP Chairman Steve Shine for thinking protests against government are repetitive and stale and a shameful circus. You only have to see the protest at the courthouse square. I have walked by the protest and saw pre-printed signs and wrote chants, and they are pretty lame. Car burnings, businesses burning, and looting is a pretty good definition of a shameful circus. We live in a perilous time, and we cannot let our guard down. Signed, W. Patrick Sefton of Fort Wayne.
Moving on to an opinion piece titled A Flicker of Light, authored by Kevin Boyd of Fort Wayne, who is a retired Presbyterian minister. Subtitle, Goodness Shall Prevail in Fight for America's Soul. The greatest disaster a nation can face is a supine submission to wrong and injustice. The consequences are loss of respect, dignity, and honor, the very foundation of a nation's greatness. I submit this is the state of our nation this very day. We are squandering our greatness because of our acquiescence to the wrongs and injustices of our own government. For more than 150 years, our laws prevented the military from participating in civilian law enforcement, but illegality has not stopped this administration. Our armed forces are patrolling the streets of our nation's capital. The administration threatens to expand its abuse of powers. This is not the way a great nation acts toward its citizens. We see the excesses of masked ICE agents. Persons entitled to due process are carted off for deportation to meet an unknown fate. This is not the way a great nation treats those within its borders. Our Department of Justice has become an arm of the executive to pursue personal vendettas and perceive injustices. There is a focused attack on the rule of law, which does not even stop at our borders. Our executive is actively attempting to interfere in other sovereign nations. Where once we used the soft power of humanitarian aid and global cooperation, we have destroyed those programs and are ceding influence to other would-be world powers. China has moved forcefully to fill the void left by the American retreat. Our haphazard foreign and domestic policy is turning longtime friends against us. Alliances vital to our security and world peace are weakened. Nations seek other currencies to replace the dollar as the world standard. Due to the unpredictability of our executive and his blatant attempts to interfere with the Federal Reserve, once dependable trading partners are looking for other markets due to the erratic nature of tariff policy. Another power wrested unconditionally from Congress without disagreement. Gutting programs of research at our most prestigious universities, the executive branch seeks to control and contort education to its own narrow and ignorant views. Medical science is denied. In its place, we embrace crackpot theories, quacks, and science deniers. No nation can be great if it stops innovation and seeks to control the quest for knowledge. We built an economy focused on a vibrant and growing middle class, a wealthy class that paid its fair share of taxes, and the compassion and audacity to care for the poorest and the weakest. Now, we embrace a privileged class of a wealthy few, granting them enormous tax relief as we expand the gap between them and the rest of us. The middle class is shrinking. Our nation turns its backs on the poor. A renewal of an equitable economy is not some woke dream. It's vital to a thriving and vibrant future. A truly great nation would recognize this fact and strive to achieve it. We have now twice elected a man whose greed knows no bounds. He is a liar, a cheater, and man who glories in his own ignorance. His own vainglory is only surpassed by the lackeys he has surrounded himself with, who unabashedly shower him with praise. He uses the people's office for his personal aggrandizement and gain. He is corporate to his core, yet many of our fellow citizens seem willfully blind or hopelessly deluded. A great nation does not choose individuals of such moral degradation as leaders. The history of the world shows us that great nations disappear not because they are vanquished by an external enemy. They rot from within. There's a cancer within us, a malignancy called MAGA. It has destroyed any claim we once may have had to true greatness. I lament the manner in which so many have merely laid down our rights, our responsibility, our very liberty. In 1787, at the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin, the senior sage of the Founding Fathers, expounded on the agreements and disagreements he had with proposed form of government. He concluded they never would be a form within which he totally agreed. Franklin also concluded that one presented had the best promise of being rightfully administrated until such time as the people became so corrupt as to embrace a despot. We have such a despot now inhabiting our White House, or we have such a despot now inhabiting our White House, rather. Sadly, it seems some ignore the corruption as they embrace and cooperate with the despotism. Such evil is contagious. Immorality and injustice grasp our democracy by its throat to squeeze the life force of liberty from its lungs. Yet I believe in the very heart of America, in men and women throughout this land, there beat hearts that are not corrupted and will fight for the very soul of this beloved nation. This fight is just the beginning, and it shall not be in vain. There's a flicker of light in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it.
And now I'll be reading the primetime TV listings for Wednesday, October the 1st from the Journal Gazette. The Wayne TV listing, CBS station, 8 p.m. is Survivor. At 9:30 p.m., The Amazing Race. On the ABC affiliate, WPTA, 8 p.m. is Shifting Gears. 8:30 p.m. is Abbott. 9 o'clock, The Golden Bachelor. 10 o'clock, Shark Tank. The NBC affiliate, Channel 21 WPTA, 8 p.m. Chicago Med, 9 p.m. Chicago Fire, 10 p.m. Chicago PD. The PBS affiliate, WFWA, at 8 p.m. is Big Cats, New Beginnings. At 9 p.m. is Nova, Human Neanderthal Encounters. And at 10 p.m. is The Sacred Planet with Gulen Kwan. And lastly, the Fox affiliate, Channel 55, WFFT, at 8 p.m. is The Floor. At 9 p.m. is 99 to Beat. And at 10 o'clock is the Fox 55 News First at 10. We're now going to be reading a few local sport highlights, but if you love sports, tune in on Mondays at 1:30 and 10:30 p.m. or Tuesdays at 6 a.m. for Spotlight on Sports with stories from Sports Illustrated magazine, or tune in every Sunday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. and Monday morning at 6 a.m. and listen to a full hour of the past week's local, regional, and national sports stories during Sports in Review. And now Mitchell will start with the first local sports highlight.
Spartans girls blank Bruins to remain unbeaten in soccer. Final score, Homestead 5, Northrop 0. Second-ranked team is 14-0 with one game left. Articles by Victoria Jacobson of the Journal Gazette. Homestead juniors Audrey Johnson and Braylee Morris each scored two goals to power the Spartans to a 5-0 home victory over Northrop on Tuesday night. With the victory, the Class 3A number 2 Spartans are now 14-0 with just one more regular season game left. I love their resiliency. They never give up, Homestead coach Paco Castillo said of his Spartans. They work so hard at trying to score. I love their work ethic, and they bring it every game, and they play all the way through. Okay. The loss was the largest of the season for the Bruins and their first time allowing more than two goals. It is just their third time being shut out this season. The Bruins will play host to Leo on Thursday and will face Northside in the first round of their home sectional next Tuesday.
And now in local sports briefs, 28 women's Final Four at Lucas Oil Stadium. The NCAA has decided to hold the 2028 women's Final Four at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis instead of the arena where the Pacers and the Fever play their games. The change announced Tuesday by Division I Women's Basketball Committee means the event will gain approximately 13,000 seats. The plan is to play at around half of the capacity of the cavernous Colt Stadium that holds 70,000 people for football games. The committee also voted to keep the preliminary round format of schools hosting first and second round games before two regional sites for the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. The NCAA says 85% of athletic directors, coaches, and conference officials surveyed on the topic preferred to keep that setup of 16 non-predetermined campus sites for the opening rounds. And in a local sports brief, colleges, Purdue Fort Wayne women fall in volleyball. The Purdue Fort Wayne women's volleyball team fell to IU Indianapolis 3-0, 25-17, 25-21, and 25-22 in a Horizon League contest. Trinity Rye was a bright spot early for the Mastodons, going errorless over her first 18 swings with 7 kills. She finished with a team-high 9 kills. Hayden Means had a double-double of 22 assists and 10 digs for Purdue Fort Wayne, which fell to 2-12 and 0-3 in the Horizon League. IU Indy improved to 7-8 and 1-2.
Okay, and then for the Major League Baseball playoffs, really good day for Cubs in opener as they won 3-1 against the San Diego Padres. They are up 1-0 on the Padres thanks to back-to-back home runs. Fab Fireman. This article is by Jake Cohen of the Associated Press. Dateline Chicago, Seiya Suzuki and Carson Kelly hit back-to-back homers, helping the Chicago Cubs beat the San Diego Padres 3-1 on Tuesday in Game 1 of their NL wildcard series. Chicago also got a perfect performance from its bullpen in the franchise's first playoff win since the 2017 National League Championship Series. The Cubs were swept by Miami in the wildcard round in 2020 during their last postseason appearance. Game 2 of the best of 3 series is back at Wrigley Field today. All in all, a really good day for us, Kelly said. Having a chance to clinch tomorrow and move to the next round is all you can ask for. Suzuki opened the 5th inning with a 424-foot drive to left center off Nick Pivetta, tying it at 1 and sending a charge through a towel-waving crowd of 39,114 on a picturesque day. Pivetta had retired 11 in a row before Suzuki extended his homer streak to 5 games going back to the regular season. Kelly followed with a towering shot that drifted just over the wall in left center. The catcher and Chicago native held his right arm in the air as he rounded first base. It was the MLB postseason debut for both Suzuki and Kelly, who combined for the franchise's first set of back-to-back homers in the playoffs since Miguel Montero and Dexter Fowler went deep on October 15, 2016 against the Dodgers. Simply put, it was fantastic, Suzuki said through a translator. You just felt the passion of the fans, them cheering us on, rounding the bases. I felt some nerves, obviously, but great feeling overall. Also of note, former Tin Cap star Jackson Merrill and Xander Bogaerts produced an early lead for the Padres with back-to-back doubles in the second inning. Up next, Dylan Cease takes the mound for San Diego today. Kittredge will start Game 2 for Chicago as an opener, likely followed by Shota Imanaga. Cease went 8-12 with a 4.55 ERA in 32 starts this season. The 29-year-old right-hander was drafted by the Cubs in 2014, but was traded to the White Sox in July 2017. I definitely have no hard feelings towards them, but yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago, Cease said.
FWFC coach making jump to pro with club by Josh Patterson of the Journal Gazette. Fort Wayne FC used the 2025 season as an extended tryout to identify key pieces for its first professional season in the USL League One in 2026. That guided the team to its third consecutive division championship this summer, Mike Avery, will get the opportunity to coach Fort Wayne's first professional team, as the club announced on Tuesday it had signed him to coach the club in 2026. I appreciate the trust that the club has put in me, and I am humbled by that, Avery said. I also feel like I'm ready for it. I think I've spent my entire career prepping for the moment like this one to come, and I'm so excited to see what we can do with it. The move gives Fort Wayne a measure of continuity as Avery, 57, has coached the club since its first season in 2021. In his 5 seasons, Avery has amassed a 39-18-12 record, including a 38-10-7 mark since 2022. Under Avery, FWFC has won League Two's Valley Division each of the last 3 seasons, advancing to the Central Conference semifinals in the last 2 years. This concludes the reading of the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. The Journal Gazette is broadcast every weekday at both 9 a.m. and at 6 p.m. Today, Wednesday, October 1st, we are actually going to be sending our birthday greetings out. Greetings from yesterday, since we weren't reading yesterday. We were closed to the library's all-staff meetings. We'll include Tuesday's birthdays. So Tuesday, September 30th, listener Joyce S. had a birthday. And today, Wednesday, October the 1st, we have 2 birthdays, listener Mary R. and listener Kevin L., both of Fort Wayne. Your readers today have been Marcia and
Mitch.
And we invite you to stay tuned for the very next program.
You've been listening to Volunteers Read the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette, which is broadcast every weekday at 9 a.m. and rebroadcast at 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. Check out our podcast of the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette and obituaries on our podcast page at audioreadingservicepodcast.com. Thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, please give us a call at 260-421-1376.